Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 303. And my guest today, offering her dream for us to explore and then sharing her story, is Rat Race Release Coach Carolina Barca. And based in Mexico, Carolina helps women entrepreneurs release the generational patterns and protective reflexes that keep their business stuck through her business healing boot camp. She uses intuitive guidance, constellation work, and energy healing to release what's blocking business growth and create real transformation. And if you've ever sensed that your business growth is limited by something older than you, something ancient even, you're going to want to hear this conversation. First up, Carolina shares her dream. Now, I ask my guests to tell me nothing about the dream they choose until we start recording, as I know you enjoy unravelling the mystery alongside me. And exploring a dream with a guest on the podcast is a relatively light process compared to my private work with clients. On the podcast, we pick out some highlights, hint at some dream interpretation tips, and discover insights that feel safe and appropriate to share in public. If you consult me privately, we go deeply into your dream, uncover everything you need to know, relate it to your life, and if you wish, apply processes to shift beliefs and patterns that are limiting or blocking you, to move you past stuck, to see solutions to problems, and to get inspired about your next steps. So to find out more about my services and courses, go to janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H, and the direct links are in the show notes. And if you haven't done my course, How to Interpret Your Dreams Step by Step, yet, today is your day. You can begin right now. The link is also in the show notes. And also a reminder that you can now watch The Dream Show on my YouTube channel. So, introductions over. Let's go to Mexico and meet Carolina. Welcome to The Dream Show, Carolina, again.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me again. Although it has been quite a bit of time in between the two, haven't it?
It's been a year. I looked it up and I wrote down which episode number it is for listeners. It was episode number 289 and it was in March, so just over a year ago. But, you know, which we'll get into later, a whole raft of things have changed since then. So, for example, last time I was speaking to you, you were in Portugal and now you're living in Mexico.
Yes, exactly.
And all sorts of other things have changed in your business. So, you know, it's my early morning, it's your late evening. Have you had a good day in Mexico today?
We've had a wonderful day up to about like sunny. And this is a little bit the end of summer in Mexico City. So we had a wonderful sunny day. And now we just had a tropical rainstorm. Which was so wonderful. I love thunder, and I love that cozy feeling of things getting darker.
Oh, yes, I'm washing
both
away.
Are good for me.
Yeah, that's good. So talking about getting darker, I don't mean dark dreams, but I mean kind of preparing to go to sleep and go to bed and dream. As usual, as you and our listeners know, you're going to surprise me with a dream. I have no idea what you've got. You did tell me one thing. You said it's nice and weird. And I said, oh, good. I like
it's
weird.
It's a weird one. Yeah.
So, would you like to share it? Oh, and first of all, before you share it, how long ago was it you had the dream?
About, I think, 5 days ago.
Five days. Oh, nice and fresh. That's great.
It is. It is. And I am a very visually oriented person. So I often can bring up the images as long. And I made, of course, in the middle of the night, I woke up and made notes on my phone just to make sure that I remember.
That's very good.
And then the next morning I thought, oh, right, that's what I dreamt. And I can relive it. I can almost re-dream it.
So that's a great tip for people listening in too, that it's sometimes just writing down a few key things, particularly visuals, brings everything up in the morning rather than getting wide awake in the middle of the night writing everything down.
Yes.
So I'm ready for your weird dream, Carolina.
Okay, So I need to tell you why it's weird. Because, well, it was weird anyway, but I'll just start my dream. So in my dream, I was sleeping on the couch, on a couch, in my mother's house. That did not look anything like my mother's house. And I was sitting on the couch and I was looking out at this wall of glass, which, and behind the wall of glass was a sort of a terrace, a balcony / terrace, and with a table, with chairs. And so I woke up, I was sleeping on my left side, and I woke up and I looked out. And on the table was an ashtray and a pack of cigarettes. Now, mind you, I don't smoke. So it was, they were, but funny enough, I felt like they were my cigarettes. And I looked at the ashtray and there were two cigarette butts. And I looked at them and I thought, those aren't mine. And where it gets weird is that I was funnily aware that I don't smoke, and yet I was going to smoke. So it was a very strange sort of inner conflict almost. Like, okay, and so there was a pack of cigarettes, a different brand from the cigarette butts that were in the ashtray. And I thought, maybe those were from my grandmother. I thought, no, they must be from the cleaning lady. And I do have a cleaning lady, she doesn't smoke either. And I got a pack of cigarettes, and then my husband appeared on the other side of the table, sitting in a chair. I thought, oh, I have to hide this from my husband. So I was lighting a cigarette while trying to, in plain view of him, outside. So I walked outside, and in plain view was trying to hide this cigarette that I was somehow lighting with my third hand, because I had both hands here. And then I realized that I heard a noise inside, and that was my mother. And I thought, oh, now I have to hide it both from my husband and my mother. So I was trying to, while lighting it again with my third hand, while lighting the cigarette behind my both hands, trying to block the view of the other, of both my husband and my mother. And then there's a snippet that I don't really remember, but then I was inside, still the same house, still not my mother's house, but somehow my mother's house. And I went into an annex where the kitchen was, and I looked at the kitchen counter, and it was like water. It was as if I was looking through the kitchen counter. And I thought, that's weird. And so I took a step back to look if the kitchen was still the kitchen. And then the front of the kitchen was simply the kitchen, the dishwasher, some cabinets. And so I thought, oh, that's strange. And I looked over, I bent it over again. And here I was looking at this surface of water again. And it was really, really deep. You know, one of those swimming pools, those really deep swimming pools where divers practice, and it was really, really, really deep. And there were all these castles, but these underwater castles. And there were a little bit in between aliens and mermaids swimming in there. So I looked down, and there were they were bulky figures, but with somehow they swam really elegantly, but they were very bulky. And so I looked and I thought, what's that? And looking at that castle, that underwater castle that was on the right, and I stepped back again, looking at the kitchen cabinets, and I thought, but everything is normal. Everything is normal. So, and I opened the dishwasher to see if water would come out, because the surface of the dishwasher was like that. Opened it, no water came out. Closed the dishwasher again and looked over the edge onto the kitchen, the, the table, the kitchen top, and looked down and saw again all these creatures. But imagine creatures that were probably three times my size, but they were this small. That's how far away they were.
Oh, wow.
So it was really, really deep. And then I remembered somehow that I had a backpack on the porch or on that little terrace. And so I went to get the backpack. It wasn't even my backpack. I thought, oh, must be the backpack of the cleaning lady. But I needed to get it for whatever reason. And then I went back to the terrace, which was now so coming out of the kitchen through the living room and was now on my left, couch on my right, and the backpack was gone. And so was my husband, and so was my mother. The only thing that was left there was that cigarette that I had frantically trying to not show anybody, in the ashtray and still burning. It's last little bit. And then I woke up.
I love it. I absolutely love it. You woke up in the dream as well. You were asleep and you woke up in the dream. And then you woke up again.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely weird.
Yes.
I love it.
Right?
Yeah, and I love it when, you know, when it's things like you say, but I don't smoke in real life, but in the dream I do, because you then know that the symbols are definitely symbolic. They're not to do with the mm-hmm. actual second. At the end, when you... two questions about the end. One, do you know how you felt about the fact that your husband and your mother and the backpack weren't there? Was there any emotion attached to that?
To the fact that they were not there?
Yeah.
I was worried about the backpack. I was worried about a little bit. But I also, because I kind of felt like it was my backpack. And then when I couldn't find it, I kind of disconnected from that and said, okay, then it must not have been my backpack. Yeah. Then it must have been the backpack of the cleaning
lady. Of the cleaning lady.
And how the fact that my mother and yeah. my husband weren't there, I don't think there was a, it was more like a, I noted it. It wasn't,
yes.
there was no emotion attached to it.
No emotion. No. And the other one, how did you feel looking at the burning cigarette emotionally?
Well, I think the burning cigarettes, not much. The first time that I saw the cigarette butts, so my grandmother, she did smoke, and she passed away years ago, and she did smoke. And so there was emotion in the sense of kind of almost a, that my heart jumped when I thought of her cigarette butt, that could be her cigarette butts.
Yeah.
So, and then I remembered, oh no, she's not there. And right. so, and then I went for the cleaning.
Yeah. And at the end, how did you feel about there was the single cigarette that you had been smoking was still alight? Was there any feeling about that, like you were going to pick it up, or any feeling of the fact that it was not a butt, it was burning?
No. It was more like I noticed it.
Yeah.
And, I also woke up from a noise, so I wouldn't know if I would have picked it up again or not.
Yeah.
I woke up from a noise. I live in a big city, and
yes.
We have police cars and stuff coming around. So I woke up from a police car with the sirens,
yeah.
and so that was basically the. It probably would have continued somewhere.
Yes. Yeah.
Else.
Well, it's fantastic. Well, we're going to get into the really kind of magical, watery thing, but not straight away.
Okay.
I love that bit. There's also just as a little, so I just want to put it over here so I remember that. There's also a little aside about the cigarette butts, because often in dreams we use plays on words. So they could have been but, oh no, but this or but that. So you may have been dreaming about two buts. I'm not sure about, because you mentioned there was a kind of inner conflict at some time in the dream. There's two buts I've got to look okay. at. So we just put that over there so I remember. But the cleaning lady kept coming in, and you've got a cleaning lady. In the dream, did you think it was your actual cleaning lady that you were dreaming about? It was just a
no.
generalized dream
I
cleaning.
Yes. It was. And actually, I would say it wasn't her. For my feeling, she was younger and she had curly hair. Mine is slightly older and has straight hair.
Okay, so how old was the dream cleaner, roughly?
I would say about 40.
About 40.
38, 40 years old.
Yeah.
And like I said, curly hair, lighter color hair. But it's like a vague image because she passed at some point. So I saw her curls.
So almost like you didn't see her face while it was her curls. It was more like you're seeing, she had a bit of cover around her, a little bit like the cigarette being covered that's half hidden by her curls.
True. Yeah. True. Yeah. I couldn't see her face.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit hidden. So, you know, often in dreams, we look at the other people as aspects of ourselves. So she, I'm starting with the boring end of the dream first, you see, we're saving the fireworks to the end. But it's important to get some structure around it.
Of course.
So she may or may not represent a part of yourself that is either cleaning something up, not literally, but, you know, cleaning through emotionally, work-wise, whatever. Now, that reminds you of perhaps a similar situation that you might have been going through when you were 38 to 40.
So I'm 46. And it's funny that you mentioned that because I follow like astrology. I'm not deep into astrology, but I'm a little bit into astrology. And I do know that there is a planet, I think it's Uranus, that currently that was in my sign for the longest time. And that one has just last week, actually probably the night of the dream, more or less, has left my sign. And if I remember it well, it is a planet that makes you, in my case, that made me reflect inwardly and develop my spiritual side, which is absolutely true. So if you look at the 38 to 40 years old, and then I would say it's in every sign for 7 years. So that would exactly match the phase when I started to clean up.
Yes, exactly.
And now it finished, sort of.
You know, that makes so much sense because also your dream started with you being specifically inside. And then you went outside.
Ah.
And then you came back inside to check what had changed, where you saw things had changed. So that kind of goes in a parallel to what you were saying there about a period of inner reflection. Oh, let's just put reflection over there because the first thing that you noticed when you went in the kitchen was the kind of reflective water surface before you looked deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So we just put that there to remember that, yeah. So the dream in many ways is mirroring what you just said there, whether astrologically or whether because you had heard the astrology and therefore thought, okay, that makes sense. So this is sort of, I'm waking up in the dream. I'm waking up from this time that I've been spent on inner reflection. I go outside to see what's changed or how can I take this into the world? And then I come back into my inner world and I see even more deeply. And this cleaning, the cleaning person was there quite early on because she wondered whether the cigarettes might have been hers. Yes. And she was also in at the very end. So she's kind of like a continuing theme.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. and I think I also wanted to draw attention to that, which I now have done, that, you know, one of the themes going through the dreams is comparing inner and outer. So there's, you know, often in dreams, if you're inside, it's your inner world, not from a dream dictionary approach, but it's more like this is my private space. And when I go outside, it's more how do I relate to the world? So you begin and you wake up in a house which isn't actually your mother's house, but it is metaphorically your mother's house, and you've
it
been
felt
asleep.
Like that, yes.
Yeah, felt like that. So you know, that may or may not be feeling that during this period of inner reflection, you may or may not have been reflecting on your actual mother's influence on you, or the mother in you, meaning how you mother yourself and mother the world.
And actually, now that you mentioned that, so in family constellations, I'm a facilitator, right? And I apply that to business. And of course, since I'm always working with that, so I'm also always reflecting on that. And in the family constellations, from the family constellations point of view, it's very often that if you work on the relationship with your mother, it's the development of business inwardly. And when you work on the relationship with the father, it's the contacts to the outside world.
Yes.
And so in that sense, it also comes back, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Yes. Amazing how that shows up, isn't it?
Working on the inner world and then going out to see how that reflects. And so your father, from a family constellations and a dream point of view, the father wasn't in the dream, but your husband was. So there was a male energy there.
Yes.
Meeting outside. Okay, so we've got that. And specifically, you woke up and you didn't wake up looking at a wall or you didn't wake up looking at a tiny window. You woke up looking at a whole wall of glass. So it's like you could see through, you could see something. So an idea of clarity. I've woken up from something. When you dream that you wake up, you know, maybe one way of looking at that is it's kind of like an awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I've woken up to. Yeah. So you've woken up.
I cannot have enough awakenings in my life, to be honest.
Now, that's good. That's great, because a lot of people don't want them and aren't prepared for them. So that's wonderful.
Oh, we always say we love surprises, but just the surprises we want.
Yes. And you definitely didn't want to surprise people with your cigarette. Anyway, we'll come to that. So lovely. So you woke up after this period of inner reflection to see with quite a lot of clarity and quite a big view, quite a shifty perspective, perhaps. How did you feel when you saw like the structure of the terrace and everything before you went out there? What kind of energy did it have?
It was funny. It's like it was a hole, so the glass wall, and then a terrace. But I didn't see, even though it was open on the side, I didn't see anything on the side. So I still saw that the terrace only. Let me think. How did I feel? Apprehensive, I guess, like because it was empty when I went there. It was also like almost a routine. Like I would get up and then get out.
Yeah.
It felt very much like a routine, not a curiosity or not a, it felt very matter of fact going out.
That's interesting, because although it was matter of fact and it was routine, which implied you'd done it many times before, there was still a sense of apprehension, which is often when you're starting something new. But so maybe in this case, you've woken up to something within yourself that is a kind of routine, metaphorically, but this time you see it differently and you're more apprehensive. Oh, I'm seeing something I'm not quite as comfortable, or it's out of my comfort zone, or something has shifted and something has changed. My old ways of doing things have changed, and I'm apprehensive.
And the cigarette butts on the table made me like think, So they were out of place, sort
yes.
of. I didn't. Oh, I'm sorry. You know.
Oh, hello, Kat. No,
hello.
That's fine. I mean, and that's a contrast too, isn't it? There's, although you didn't see the sides, there's this beautiful big terrace, and then it's like you zoom in on this almost tiny ashtray and the two tiny butts. So, you know, on mm-hmm. one level, we can come back to the idea of the two butts, the play it on words. I've got this habit or this routine, but something has shifted, it's changed. I'm feeling a bit apprehensive about it, and my apprehensions is, oh, but this and but that, maybe, or but this, but that.
Oh, that could very well be, yes.
and there were definitely not only cigarette butts, but no, they weren't smoking, they were done. It's like, you know, but that's kind of like in the past, really. I'm just mm-hmm. looking down at the notes I took when you were talking out. And you said... Yeah, you had a feeling that you were going to smoke, and you had an inner conflict, should you smoke them or not? So there was a sense that I wanted to. So we now got to jump from being actual cigarettes and anything to do with smoking to being your personal dream symbol for something that you've woken up to that is an inner conflict. So maybe the original mm-hmm. habit was smoking the cigarettes or not smoking the cigarettes in your face now. Do I now smoke the cigarette or do I now not? We don't know which way it went, but they represent a dilemma.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in a nutshell, what do you actually think of smoking, although you don't smoke?
I'm pretty neutral about it.
Yeah.
There's not many people that I have around me that do. So I'm not really often confronted with it.
Yeah.
There was, however, and I told my husband a couple of days before. So as you know, I'm spiritual, and a couple of days before, I told my husband that I smelled cigarette smoke in the house as if somebody was passing and wanted to let us know, hey, I'm here.
Ah.
And so there somebody like a spirit was passing and wanted to let us know.
Right.
And I had that a couple of days in a row that I said, where does that come from? And we're in a building where nobody smokes. Neither of us do. We don't have people or had people around that do. So it was a really strange sensation to suddenly sit on the couch 9 o'clock in the evening watching a series and sort of, where does that come?
Yeah.
And it's not like somebody can pass on the street and it would reach us. That's, you know, that's very, very unlikely.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So you've really encapsulated there what your personal symbolism of cigarettes, particularly at the time of the dream, because a dream is usually processing your experiences of the last one or two days, and that happened in the last one or two days. So what you said there, and I said in a nutshell, and I'll put it in an even smaller nutshell, is smoking for me represents maybe something spiritual. Or what was that? What was that? Questioning. Was that something real? Was it real or was it not? Was it there or wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure it was real.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And my mind immediately goes to who was that?
Okay.
Wanted,
I love that.
Wanted to their presence known. And who wanted, is it a, and then of course, what is it? If they want to make their presence known, do they simply want to say, hey, I'm here? Or do they want to, I don't know, make me get up and do something? Do they want me to listen to them? Do they, what is it that
yes.
I can help them?
So
there is, yes.
That's beautiful. So your dream is processing all those questions. And also, if we also look at everyone and everything in a dream as representing a part of ourselves, then the cigarettes may also represent your spiritual self or your quest for who. You said, who is it and what do they want me to do? So my quest
yes.
for, I've been through this period of inner cleaning. I'm waking up. I'm seeing my habits differently. Who am I now? And what do I want myself to do? And
that makes sense.
Yeah, and both of those connected with a feeling of either your spiritual self or the feeling of working with spirits, because that's something that you do.
Yes. Well, and very applicable, actually. Who am I and what is my way forward?
Yes.
We'll talk about that. I think because I'm in a pivotal point of my business. Of my business
yes.
right now. And I have decided recently to put that spiritual part of me out there, and not as a service, but more as an, this is also who I am.
Yeah.
I am spiritual. I do see spirits. I have since I was extremely young. It's actually one of my first memories. So showing people that I'm spiritual and the extent to which I'm spiritual was always something that I had to hide.
Yes.
And now with my business and the direction in which I'm going, I'm really moving into that spiritual space and into that spiritual personal power. Because for me, it feels that if I want to tap into that, and if I could support so many more women than I currently do.
Yes.
And that's where I felt, what made me, and this is it's very funny, what made me not want to do that? Because for whatever reason, I woke up and suddenly it feels so illogical not to do anything with it while it's such a source of information and power and strength. That is coming up.
That's really lovely. So waking up with that feeling of I've got this gift or this calling or this thing, and why am I not using it? So you've beautifully got that in the dream, the dilemma, do I smoke the cigarette or not? Do I hide? You know, you said I've spent so much time hiding this aspect of myself. Yeah. And that's what you're doing there. So, you know, for you, for your symbolism, if you smoked the cigarette in the dream, I guess that was showing your spirit. You've got the fumes from the cigarette, I guess, as well. You know, so you know, but
coming out from under whatever.
No matter how much I try and hide. So the dream is showing an actual conflict at that part of the dream. The dream goes on to look at it and explore it and resolve it more. But yeah, I want to do this. I'm ready to be this person and, you know, bring these things into my life, change my habits in that way. But there's a part of me that has conflict and really wants to hide this from everybody. And yet there was a...
While being so aware that I couldn't.
Yes.
Because I remember in my dream thinking, I can hide this. So it's also this very strong... And it's true, because every time I do try to hide my spiritual side, things come out of my mouth that I didn't come up with.
Yeah.
And so it's like the spirit world saying, yeah, you can try to push us aside, but... we're going to come through anyway.
That's the third hand. Yes. That's the third hand, is
that's
it?
The third. Oh, that's the third hand. Yeah. Me doing like this and the spirit world lighting it anyway.
Yeah.
Which it's a funny symbolism that they decided to show me though. Couldn't you have saying it's done something with like eating an apple? You know, it's
No, it's you putting the symbols on them. It's you, you know, you're working with the symbols that you have for that field too. So for you, there's a sense of I can try and hide all I want, but there's another hand in this, and that is my ability to contact spirit or to see different things or whatever it is, or just bring my spiritual nature more into the work that I do is more automatic. You know, you could also say it's more unconscious. There's an unconscious third hand. This is you consciously trying to hide, but there's an unconscious part of yourself going, no, what do you mean hide? Yes. Too late, girl. You're in it now. It's showing.
Yes, you're out.
No more buts about it. Oh, wow. Yes, looking at my notes again. So we're just, because we're not going into the whole dream, we're just brush apart at being your mother and your father and your husband there. But basically, they represent parts of yourself, which you will be able to work out. But I want to go to the fact that when you looked at the pack on the table, it was a different brand from the cigarettes.
Yes.
So knowing you're in business, I would suggest that's a play on words in the dreams for changing branding, especially from what you've just said. I mean, I actually know you've just been through a big branding change in the last year.
Yes, a big rebranding change.
So I'm not necessarily saying do that again, but there's a kind of reference there to this is a different brand. What I'm doing now, what I'm smoking now, what I'm handling now, what I'm putting out there now is actually a different brand. You're seeing that in the dream.
And I now realize that the thing, what I am taking is different from my grandmother. And that's basically where the generational, the constellations come in again.
Yes.
Because I'm doing something different than what they did.
Yes.
And it requires something different, right? Having being an entrepreneur my grandparents were also entrepreneurs. They had their own business, but they had a different business, and they weren't coaches, let's say. So I am really doing something different, but I'm doing something different than what my family does. In the generations before me, there has never been a coach, let's say.
And I love that.
Nobody that does what I do. And as although I know that there were psychic mediums in both my family lines, I never heard them. Nobody from my ancestors, I never heard them talk about that they actually use that in their business. So I am doing something completely different than from my lineages. What comes down from my lineages.
Love it. While acknowledging in the dream that there was something there, but they hid it, they didn't use it. You are bringing it out into the open. Absolutely beautiful. Just looking down at my notes. There was a noise inside, and you go back inside. At that point, this is where we get to the kitchen bit. So you've seen all of that, as discussed, and now you go inside to see the inner reflection of that, which, you know, one of the questions was, I guess the conflict you had coming back inside was, there's still a part of me wants to hide, but I can't hide. But, you know, so we're then back to, I guess, to those questions that you related to the cigarettes with, who am I now and what do I do with this? So it's a little bit of a conflict because there's still a little bit of hiding, and you come inside to see what the noise is. So your inner world is making a noise. Oh, hey, me, listen, for good or for bad, come and see what this is in here. And you go in and you go into the kitchen. And first of all, it looks like a normal kitchen, or do you straight away see the counter?
It looks like a normal kitchen with a little bit of a shiny countertop.
Right. And the style of that kitchen, what kind of era did that style belong in?
Modern. Definitely modern.
Modern,
yes. So and what I really... yes, modern. Modern wood, but cream white painted, modern equipment.
Lovely. Yeah. So you're not going back into your grandmother's or your mother's. You're going inside to look at where you are today in that kind of a kitchen. A kitchen is a place where you... What? What do you do in a kitchen?
Well, I prepare things usually for other people.
Okay. There you go. I prepare things for other people.
I'm preparing stuff for other people. So I like to cook and they like to eat, and that's what people buying us together.
That's lovely. So you've got that, you know, who am I and what am I to do? I'll go into that space which represents what am I to do. I prepare stuff for other people.
Yep.
But when I prepare, when I look closely, everything looks normal. It looks the same-ish. Like it's different from my mother and grandmother. It's up to date. It's now, it's me. But oh my goodness, there's something really reflective here. And when I bend over it, it's absolutely amazing. I can look through it. You know, when you said that in the dream, I thought at the beginning you woke up and had this lovely big glass thing that you looked through. And what you look through now is even deeper. The view is even more amazing. It's more magical. Yes. It's incredible. So we're going to another level of seeing inside.
Oh,
and perhaps
I think the seeing inside never ends.
it looks like it, doesn't it? You said it. You kept saying it goes very, 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 very deep.
Yes.
Often when you encounter a deep body of water in a dream, it can sometimes represent your unconscious mind, which is never ending, effectively, compared to your conscious self. So it can be sort of peering not only inside, but deep inside to what's unconscious. So I got that feeling in the dream, particularly because that's where a lot of the weirder symbols were, the mermaids, the aliens/mermaids.
it was a strange combination of the two joined together.
Together,
yes.
Yeah, I love it. So to me, that really
it was a beautiful underwater world.
Yes.
And lots of that really does those green bluish tones of color. It was beautiful. It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And it was even though they were a little bit bulky, it felt like everything was so fluent, that yes. the movements were very fluent. And so it was beautiful. I can picture it still.
Yeah, I can see that. It's lovely. What do the green-blue colours mean to you in general?
Well, I always think of blue and green. I was thinking of that after the dream. Not because of the dream, but because there was this light therapy salon that I walked past, and they were doing blue and green light. And I blue for me is peace, I think. And green, I really associate green with healing.
Healing, yeah, lovely. So you're looking into this deep well of possibility within your unconscious mind and beyond, which is associated with peace for you and for other people, and healing for you and for other people. And it gave you such a wonderful feeling just leaning over and looking at, and then coming back going, no, it looks normal, but no, it's not. It's like looking at you as you're going out into the world now. Everything kind of looks normal, but it's not. There's something deeper, much deeper mm-hmm. happening here. Very peaceful, very healing. And before we're getting closer and closer to the weirdest part of the dream, but the first thing you reported on was the castles before the mermaids. What were the castles like?
So they're underwater castles, and so I was looking on sort of on top of them, and they were I want to say a little bit chunky. They had high towers, but the base was very solid.
Yeah,
it was very it was big stones, big rocks, and it was a big structure, and it was almost like all the castles were joined together. Maybe it was even one castle, and it just had multiple
spires,
subsections within it, possibly. And then it was covered with this nutritious green moss. That for the sea is extremely important, of course. And there were all these little animals walking around in it and swimming around it, like you would see with coral, you would see in a coral. You have on your end, you have the Great Barrier Reef.
Yeah,
that type of life that was around it. So it was feeding this part of the ocean, these animals of the ocean.
I love that. So, whereas normally you would expect a castle to house people or whatever, this was a structure. These castles were feeding and healing and giving.
And for my mermaid alien friends.
Yes, yeah, definitely. So we're coming to those. So we're very, very close, because the castles, you said, had chunky, I wrote it down, you said it had a chunky base. In fact, it was all maybe one base. And I wondered why you kept calling the mermaids as slash aliens as bulky. You used the word bulky a lot when you described it, and just again now. A chunky and bulky are similar kind of words.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah. So it's almost like the symbol of the castle with its big solid base, able to feed and nurture in peaceful healing ways, is similar to the size, the base, if you like, of the number of mermaids / aliens that were swimming around. Even though they were bulky, even though the base was huge, they were able to be elegant and graceful. So, at one level, there's this feeling of you having built an enormous base, or being a base, being able to draw on solid foundations within yourself. Look at all that light coming into you as we're talking.
I am taking it. I am moving it down.
For people that are not watching the video, they're listening to this. Carolina's sitting opposite a window, and she was totally blinded by this light, and she couldn't look anywhere, and she's now pulling down two blinds, one then another. So that's pretty significant.
Yes.
Sometimes the light's a bit too blinding.
Enthusiastic, yes.
And sometimes we just need to sort of pull back the shade a bit and look at it more gradually. So, and I was saying there's some kind of either a big foundation that you've built or the foundation of yourself, your own foundation, is something that can nurture. And there may or may not, you know, the kind of conflict at that part of the dream is that the mermaid aliens are bulky, but they're still elegant. So it's kind of like the question there is, would you like to frame the question or do you want me to do it?
No, please do.
The question is, I've got all this kind of foundation or this base or this stuff. Is that a problem or not? Or can I still be elegant in the dream? You're still elegant, but there's still this question. The reason I raise that is because at the end, the question of the backpack comes up, which is also a bulky, chunky thing.
And it was, actually. It was a backpack with almost with travel equipment or something like that. It was bulky. It was completely cramped full with things. I think it's on all ends. So if I look at my business, if I look at myself, they went hand in hand while I was basically, I think a coach's journey is almost, you learn so much from, and you need to keep on learning. Because basically, what I try to do very, very clearly is make sure that my own personal, for lack of a better word, shit, that I don't put that on my clients, and that I'm very conscious that I put my things aside. Even though I bring my experience, I don't bring my emotions on those experiences.
Yeah.
In a coaching conversation, and I've worked really hard to make sure that I don't, because we're still human, right?
Yes.
And bad days happen, but I feel that my client should have the full, absolute 100% possibility and everything to express themselves, and I should be 100% present, and I am.
Yeah.
So I've worked really hard on that. And especially over the last years, those 7 years.
Yes.
And then my business is the same thing. So I've developed over the last years a new program. And it's called Business Healing Bootcamp. There's the healing and the green coming in. Possibly.
Yes, yeah.
And which also has this, I needed to have this foundation that to build this upon, it is a little bit the cherry on the cake of the work that I did over the last years. And it is everything that all the foundations that I laid come back, the most meaningful and most effective things come back in this cherry that I'm putting on top that I launched recently.
Yes.
So it that makes total sense. That bulky part, I needed to have that bulky part.
Yes.
I needed to have that foundation. I needed to have solid concrete almost in the base, so that what I'm building on top of it now can move and sway, but will never fall. It won't.
That's so lovely.
And so, yes, I do see that those underwater structures having that solid foundation, both of me and of my business.
Yes, perfect.
And of course, as a coach, you are your business, sort of, because, it's very intertwined.
And for anybody, you know, what you've got sorted on the inner reflects in the outer. So, yeah, that's perfect. Oof. Yeah.
Yes.
So that leaves us, apart from a quick trip to the backpack at the end and the lighted cigarette, leaves us with these mermaids that were, you said, somewhere between aliens and mermaids. I'm just looking at my notes.
And I guess I sometimes feel like both as well. It's like it never ends. But yes, I feel that. So I can be very direct. And sometimes I really have to bite my tongue, and because otherwise something will pop out, and it's like, oh, here we go again. Why didn't I control my mouth, right? And then on the other hand, I also have this very soft touch in letting people see what they are, how they can do things differently without pointing out what is wrong.
Yes.
Because I do not believe that anything is wrong.
Yeah.
And because that's, you know, that's sort of a misperception, I guess, for coaches. You don't need to have something wrong that needs to be fixed. Actually, I'm really big on there's nothing wrong. Everything you experience is information. Every emotion that you have, anything that you experience that you're uncomfortable with is information that can be used.
Yes.
And that can be used to your advantage if you allow it, if you can unpack it.
Yes. Beautiful.
And so that's the elegant part. But
yes.
Then every once in a while in a social setting, something falls out of my mouth. I don't even know where I got that. I am so sorry.
No, that's so great. Let's go alien mermaid. So how would you describe the mermaid part of yourself? What's the essence of a mermaid, or what's the personality of a mermaid, or what does it do for people, since that's your question?
Well, I think if I think of a mermaid, I see an extremely powerful woman, because the their tail, right? I feel that has so much power to move through water with speed.
Yes.
And then when I also think about a mermaid, I think of sirens, right? A siren song, not in the sense of I'm here to hypnotize you, but in the sense of a siren song, a beautiful something people love to listen to.
Yeah.
And so I think the mermaid in me is the speed, for sure, and also there is in my experience, in my life experience, but also in my I've been an entrepreneur for 15 years, so there's a lot of experience in that. I've worked in corporate and have been through a very tough times in corporate. There's also a lot of experience in that. And so I feel that I bring a type of experience. It's not the right word, but I almost want to say wisdom.
Yes.
Wisdom of how to get through certain situations and how to use that tail to flap yourself
yes.
forward with a certain speed.
Yeah.
That's, I think, the mermaid.
I love that. And the powerful feminine that you said that she represents as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's totally
yeah.
good. So what's the other side of that, the alien?
So the alien is mostly in the shoulders and in the back, like a fin on the back, which is a little bit sharp. If I look at it, it's on her back, and it's like it has spines but sticking out.
Right. Bit of a backpack.
I think a bit of a backpack, and I think it's in. If I would symbolize that, I would think it's my protection mechanism.
Yeah.
I have been, especially because of being a psychic medium, I have had a lot of judgment, and I had to grow thick skin.
Yes.
And I think those spines on the back, they are my protection. They will be down. They will be smooth until I feel threatened, and they will probably do ching,
yeah.
a little bit like almost like Wolverine type of and they will start standing up. And I could pull up in a ball and it would protect me.
You could put your hands in front of your face to hide the cigarette, to hide the spirit. as well, that kind of connects with that feeling of I've got to protect myself if I do this thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful.
And I think
so
I will
lovely.
Always have a big part of me will always have this automatic response. And that's why I work with people on that automatic response. A part of me will my very first instinct will, because of my experiences, will probably always be to protect myself.
Yes.
And will probably always be to not post, not give my opinion, and all those things, not be on a podcast saying and sharing that about myself.
Yes.
And being vulnerable, right? My first instinct will always be that. But in my case, I think what happens if I don't put it out?
Yeah.
And so I do keep the protection, but the fact that for me, the fact that it's on the back and not the front is the mermaid and the alien part is on the back, I know in symbolism mean for me would mean that it's the biggest part is behind me.
Yes.
And
that's nice.
Even though the instinct will always tell me, oh, be careful with this and don't give your opinion too much on that. On the other hand, I do it. And eventually I do step forward, head high. And I know, you know, I speak on stages and I am on this podcast, for example, sharing these things because I do feel like I will step forward and I will use my tail to move forward.
That's great because it's like...
Judgment or not.
You know, it's like their antennae. It's an antennae for you. There's my protection things kicking in. You've got that moment to think about. How do I feel about this? Why has it come up? As you said, it's information. How can I use this information? How can I use this in my moments? It's really good. That's beautifully done. So that just leads us to the end of the dream. There's still that you went back out then to look at the backpack, which could be looking at how I protect myself, which is you're out on the terrace, which was where you were protecting yourself from being seen smoking the cigarette again. So you're looking at that. How do I do that in the outer world?
Yes, I possibly yes. I was a little bit puzzled though that it was gone.
Yeah.
It did look like a very heavy backpack that I wouldn't want to have kept.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, so somewhere along the line, whether it was the protective spines or whether it was something else, it's like this point in the dream and this idea that I've got access to this endless, deep, reflective, amazing unconscious and beyond that I've got. And I've got all these wonderful qualities that I can use and it's all there. In accepting that I'm not going to cover up, accepting I'm going to do this thing, I've somehow got rid of something off my back. I've got rid of something from the past. It's gone. And you wonder whether it was a cleaning lady, the part of yourself that's cleaned stuff up, said, we don't need that anymore. That's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You can go there. And so it leaves you with the very last bit where the cigarette is still burning, which is why I was really keen to know how you felt about that, but you weren't sure. But to me, it was like this thing is now not, they're not extinguished butts. it is something that has life in it. I mean, I'm not a smoker and I definitely don't like being around smokers. So, you know, I'm stepping out of my feeling about smoking to go into your dream here. But it is alive. It's smoking. It's got a flame. It's got a spirit in a sense. So the end of the dream is you step out into the world. You've lost something from your back. You've got a new vision and you've got something you can pick up because the cigarette to you is the spirit world or spirit or connection. There's something alive here and I have the choice. You had the choice at the end of the dream, but some annoying noise in waking life woke you up to know whether you took it or not.
Yes.
I have the chance to lift this up.
I do think I did not... I was close enough to reach for it, but I didn't.
Yeah, okay. What do you think it means now, now that we sort of got to this point in the dream, what do you think it could mean?
Well, what I really like about it is that it was out in the open.
Yes.
Mm. And so if you look in the beginning, I was trying to hide it, right? And trying to hide it behind my hands. And... Now it was just there in the ashtray, out in the open where everybody could see it.
Yeah, beautiful.
So and if I would have reached for it or not, I don't know. My something in me says that I wouldn't have reached for it, but it was there, and it was there for everybody that would have stepped out to see.
And you felt okay about it, ish?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I didn't. I felt neutral about it. Well, yeah, in the beginning,
that's
I was
right. It was
to...
neutral. Yes, and neutral is an excellent place to be. Yeah. No conflict.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you where would you summarize now, you know, if you look back on that dream now, what would you say that, what was the gift it's given you, our exploration of it together?
Oof. What I really love is the third hand.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel like, I always feel like I'm guided. But realizing that third hand, and you said it very beautifully. It's like, oh right, there was a third hand, and and it's like, I feel even more guided, which is really nice. I love the talking through the whole mermaid alien thing. Because it also made me realize what characteristics both of them have.
Yes.
And it sort of makes, for me, it makes a lot of sense. It's almost like an evolution.
Yeah.
It was almost like the dream was giving me a summary of the last years and the point where I am today, right? The summary of hiding, but not being allowed to hide because that third hand would anyway lit that cigarette. The hiding it from my husband, hiding it from my mother, then seeing the depth of that, and then going into the kitchen, looking at everything being normal, and yet when I look in, it having so much depth.
Yes,
which is of course exactly where I went. Trying to look normal while having depth, and trying to look superficial while I am the most unsuperficial person in the world, probably. That's exaggerated, no, maybe. And then going, doing that back and forth is almost like an evolution. And then those foundations of that castle with that elegance, and the bulkiness with the elegance, and the realization that now, basically, after all the years of hard work that I did, I still have that bulkiness in me, but it comes out in a very elegant way.
Beautiful.
And so all that together, and then going back to the beginning and not being embarrassed and not trying to hide, I think that's the sort of, again, the cherry. It's a cherry.
Yeah, so lovely, so beautifully put. So here you are, in quite a different position to where you were last year, geographically and with your business.
Yes.
And your business,
definitely.
Last time we spoke, it was you were working, your title was Rat Race Recovery Coach. And since you've been in Mexico, you're Rat Race Release Coach. So would you like to talk a little bit from how you moved from being a recovery to release?
Yes, I can. So recovery always felt off for me. It was heavy somehow, as if something, it was exactly that I need to fix something, but in reality, I don't believe in fixing. I personally, my point of view is that we don't need fixing. And because everybody is exactly right with the right experiences, and most people don't even realize how much power is in their experience. And so I truly don't believe we need fixing. And so recovery always felt like something went wrong, and then let's go back and fix it. And so for while I kind of just felt like it's not the right word. It's not what I want to say, and it's not what I stand for. So I removed it for a while. And then I actually had, I wake up a lot in the middle of the night with fantastic ideas. And if I don't write them down, I forget. And then 2 days later, they come up and I'm writing something down and I realize, oh, wait, I dreamt about this tonight. So I have a lot of good ideas while I sleep. I'm a very active sleeper. You can ask my husband. Like, he tells me I'm jumping up and down like a shrimp the entire night. But that being said, I woke up thinking it has to be Rat Race Release, because we're releasing. We've built something up, and we've built something up to a level where the us in us is being snowed under by all these experiences that we have. And basically what we just need to do is we just need to let those experiences be and drop the emotional load on them.
Yes.
And release, and feel that you can breathe again and open our chests and open our hearts. Because the moment you can release what has been keeping you from growing, what has been keeping you from loving life, what has been keeping you from anything you want to do, from your dream, the moment you release that, you will automatically be guided towards where you need to go. I truly believe that the universe, the spirit guides, the spirit world, grace, whatever you want to call it, that hand that, in my case, was that hand in the... that hand that helps you, that puts the right people on your path exactly when you need it, or there's these all these things that we cannot explain that come into our lives. And if we release all of the negativity of the experience of the past, we will be able to open our eyes and see it.
Yes.
And joy, I truly believe that joy is the way that the universe guides us towards what we are meant to do here and what our purpose is. And so that felt more like first more like me.
Yeah.
And because I have released, I have shedded so many skins in my life and so many experiences and so many identities where I said, I am a certain person. I just am a little bit blunt. Well, actually I didn't call it blunt. I had a worse word for it. I am a blunt person. It was an identity. And the moment I realized I also had my politically correct and tactical and friendly and kind moments, I was able to shed that skin and leave that identity behind, which was wonderful, which was a release.
Yeah.
And so I have all these releases myself. And so that's where Rat Race Release comes from. The rat race, because we have this internal rat race that we run of identities, of the generations before us, of everything that we were told when we were in school, when we were as teenagers, as young adults, and in our first jobs, and later in life when we were in corporate or when we were in business or in any other kind of business. And so I feel that shedding of all that old stuff is a release, and you can truly, truly move forward once it's gone.
And what kind of techniques do you use with your clients to help them do that release?
All kinds of things. So I, like I said, I've been in business for 15 years. One of the things that I mostly concentrate on is generational trauma and releasing generational trauma and releasing loyalty, because we carry a lot of loyalties around, even if it's unconscious. And so I work a lot with family constellations, and I work with family constellations for life coaching, but I do that less and less, because what I really love to do is look at business problems that, for example, every time I need to send an invoice, I feel like I haven't earned the money yet. So I have trouble sending those invoices and I procrastinate on it. Or I know I should be visible, but every time I need to post, I draw back. Those are very specific business problems. And yet they often are not ours. Yeah. They are things that we've gotten from the generations before us, because it was very dangerous to be visible in a war. And if in more religious areas, you couldn't charge and send an invoice, for example, to the church or to the pastor, because you were supposed to do that work out of the love of your heart,
yes.
even though your kids wouldn't be able to feed, to eat. So all this history that we have in our families, they are in our DNA. And by now, science caught up. Now they no longer call it spiritual. They did when I started 15 years ago with this work. And they found out that it's in our DNA at least 7 generations. Now, in my family, I had a couple of generations of war, my grandparents, my great-grandparents. So there was hunger. There was no food on the table. There was very hard work. There was expectations from the community that sometimes couldn't be fulfilled, that made it very, very difficult to be visible. Things like that. So I've worked through all of them, and that's where I find that a lot of our business problems come from. And that's what I love to do, because it's so tangible. You know, it's tangible. You can grab it. You can measure it. And then you do something on a personal level, and it immediately comes back into your business results.
Yes, I love that. So you're mostly focused on helping women in business to release
Absolutely.
Stuff. And yet what you do with them in business and makes a difference in their business also makes a difference in their personal life and everything else as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there is so many miracle examples that I can give you.
I'd love. Go on, give us an example.
I can give you a recent example. And actually, there is a video of it on YouTube, because mm-hmm. this particular client, she allowed me to record the sessions that I did.
Have you got a YouTube channel that people can go to watch it? Yeah.
Yes. It's a YouTube, and then at Rat Race Release.
Okay.
That people can find me there. And so this client, we did a case study, and I have multiple clients that allowed me to do a case study and record it.
Oh, good.
So she had written a book, and that book was finished already for a couple of years, 5, I believe.
5.
And the book, yes, and the book was on the shelf, and the manuscript of it was on the shelf, and she couldn't get herself to publish it. She couldn't get herself to finish it. So we did a session, and in that session, she gave back, literally a backpack, by the way, to her grandfather. And she found that what she was carrying, the fear that she was carrying to be visible, was actually not her fear. It was her grandfather's fear. So I have a special tool online, and I work with people online, right? And I have this special tool in which I have little avatars. And so you can control your own avatar, and you can feel into the energy, because the body reacts before the mind catches up. And it was a 3-hour, there's 3 times an hour of this. Long story short, she gave this, what she was carrying for her grandfather, out of love for her grandfather, she gave it back to him. She published this book that was 5 years on the shelf, 6 weeks later.
That's wonderful. And she felt totally comfortable about publishing it at that stage. Yeah.
Totally comfortable about publishing it. And she's even marketing herself. And also I see things on Instagram passing, and she's on Spirit Bear Stories is her handle. And she is, that process was just, it was instant. And it was instant because we bypassed the mind and we went into the body and into the unconscious brain to let it know that it was safe.
Yes.
And to let it know that it could release this burden and that it was not hers.
Yes.
And the moment the unconscious mind and the body and everything understood that it could release it, Of course, the conscious mind still needs to catch up. That's the 6 weeks, right?
Yeah,
That's the
that's
6 week
right. That's how it
difference.
works.
But if she didn't feel that pressure anymore of not wanting to be visible. So these are some of the stories. There's actually another person that I released the video series that also published her book after a session. So there's a lot of fun stuff there.
We were making this quite long, but we've probably got room for one more story. If you've got one more, you've got there.
Oh, well, I have, but I have a physical story. So one of my very first clients, just how our DNA can carry things. And this is not, it was a business problem, but we didn't work as usual. We didn't work exactly on that business problem because this man, I already knew him for a longer time and I knew some of his business issues. And I thought, okay, I think I know where this is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so we set up the field and I asked him to select an avatar for his mother, for his father, and for his business issue. And so we started moving, the avatars start moving, that I usually take on the energy of every avatar except for the person themselves,
yeah.
So that the person themselves can feel the entire, everything they need to feel, the emotions, but also the physical reactions. And I looked into the field, and once you're experienced in this type of, in the family constellations world and the methodology, you can see that some things are not right. And so I asked him, I said, do you have a sibling? He said, no, I don't have a sibling. I said, okay. He said, because I feel something is missing. He said, no, I don't have a sibling. I said, okay. And we moved and we moved. But there's something missing. Was there maybe a baby that was lost or somehow a tragedy around a child, a sibling? And he was, no, there is no sibling. But he was very firm with me. Okay, you know what? Not going to go there again. I asked twice and done. And we moved, but something kept on missing. And at some point, we did get to a resolution for his business item and things. And we closed the session. 2 days later, he gives me a call. And so this man was in the United States. And he says, I need to tell you something. I said, what? But I wasn't entirely honest with you 2 days ago. I said, oh, really? And he said, yeah. So I need to tell you, I have a brother. And he was, by the time we spoke, he was 38, I believe. And he said, I have a brother. And he lives in Australia. And we haven't spoken to each other for 20 years. Until yesterday. Because he gave me a call. I said, really? He said, I don't know what happens this was one of these people, like, I don't know what happens in these woo sessions of yours. But this was really weird. So his brother, they had a fallout when they were 18 and 19. And the day before his brother left for a backpacking trip to Australia, and his brother found the love of his life in Australia and he never came back. He came back to visit their parents, but they were not, they could avoid each other, right?
Yeah.
It's not like you bump into each other in the supermarket. So they have been avoiding each other for 20 years. And the day after the session, his brother gave him a call and said, listen, I know we had a fallout 20 years ago. It's a long time, but I miss you and I want to rekindle. And they did. And as far as I know, the last time I spoke with him is like a year and a half ago, I think. So as far as I know, they are still very well connected. And that's now 14, 15 years ago.
Beautiful.
So these type of miracle stories kind of
yes.
happened. Now, that wasn't a direct business result, I know. But of course, I didn't start, when I started this, I didn't started with the focus on business results. Yeah. I started with the focus on whatever people would come to me for. Because let's be honest, as a starting coach, I just give me everything, right?
And so
yes.
So now you've got that huge foundation, two beautiful examples, a huge foundation to work on, and yet you are actually focusing, as well as being more out there with the spiritual side, the spirit side, you're now focusing on women in business. Mm-hmm. And it's called, I wrote it down, your Business Healing Bootcamp. So,
yes.
Yeah. So how do people, because I'm sure loads of people want to come and find out more. What's their best way to come find out more about you, apart from watch your videos on the YouTube channel you've already mentioned?
Yes. The best way to get in contact with me is over through my website. So coachingbycarolina.com. And there's a form way at the end. To book a 20-minute conversation, just a normal conversation. I really love to work with people, but I do think that working with a coach is really like you need to match and you really need to get along. You don't want to be stuck with a person, neither me nor them, stuck with a person that you don't feel like, you know, working with for 3 months. So my Business Healing Bootcamp is 3 months. And there's an extension for another three. We go through these business problems that I mentioned. And so real things that people experience on a day-to-day. I don't want to send an invoice because I feel I still have to earn it. Those types of, okay, so let's go and let's see what the energy in the field does. And so in that sense, that's Business Healing Bootcamp. It's on the webpage as well. And I'm always very, very happy to just have a coffee and to answer any questions. So just book that 20-minute thing.
And, that's
lovely.
I would
love to see people and have a conversation, just a normal conversation. And then if we get along and you feel like this is the thing that you want to do, I will invite you to a 45-minute session where we go a little bit deeper into the actual things that you're experiencing and what I see as a coach, as an entrepreneur, what I see could be a good way forward.
Yeah, that's lovely. And of course, that cup of coffee is usually over Zoom anywhere in the world, doesn't matter, wherever you live.
Yes, it is.
Carolina, it's been an absolute delight to spend time with you again.
For me as well.
Thank you. And to explore your dream with you. And I know our listeners and now our watchers, because when you were on a year ago, we weren't doing video. We've been doing video since the beginning of this year. So it's lovely to make that visual contact and see things like the sun coming through your eyes and blinding you. And see for those of you listening to auditory only, you've got to come on and watch the way that Carolina describes it, the way her third hand comes in and the way the cigarette's being held in all the body language is really good as well.
I am a bit expressive. Physically, I move around a lot, so yes.
me too, and as the host, I try to anchor myself. I'm often just holding my other hand to try to stop it popping up and being very expressive, so it's lovely to see the energy. Thank you for being a lovely guest and for sharing your dream on our show, Carolina.
Well, and thank you so much for all the explanations, because this was really, really insightful, and it was wonderful to walk through all of these elements with this dream. With you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, that was a lovely long conversation with Carolina about her dream and about her life and her business, wasn't it? And if you want to go back and listen to the first time that she was on the show, and it is a listen, not a watch, because we've only been on YouTube since the beginning of this year, 2026. But you can go back to episode 289, which came out in March 2025, to hear her first dream when she was living in Portugal before she moved to Mexico and changed her business. I promised to give you the links. So Carolina's website, which is the easiest way to contact her and find out more about everything that she does, is coachingbycarolina.com. That's all one word, and it's in the show notes, coachingbycarolina.com. And also in the show notes is her LinkedIn and her Instagram contact details. And just another little reminder, have you done my courses yet? If not, you can start today, right now, with my first course, which is called How to Interpret Your Dreams Step by Step. Simply sign up at my website at janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. And that link is in the show notes. And that's also where you can find out about how to consult me about your dreams in much more depth than we do with my guests on The Dream Show. And it's also where you can find out about my books and other courses. So that's janeteresa.com. Thank you, as always, to Ewan Gray for sound editing, video editing, and composing our theme music. And thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. Do please share, let people know about the show. Everyone dreams, everyone's curious, and everyone's up for an interesting glimpse into the inner life of somebody before finding out about what it is they do in the world. So do please share. Until next time, have a beautiful day. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.